It is Michelle and Junie, but it is not Michelle Knezevic or Junie Riddle. Chase McCabe, Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier, all here on this fine Saturday morning. As Michelle with the day off, Junie had to take off, and we're taking it home, having some fun this morning. And I hope you're having a great Saturday. Gotten into a lot of things with the Predators this morning, and also the Jeffrey Simmons contract. That was the big news yesterday. Yeah, let me tell you too how that all went down, because I planned out a whole show with Adam Vingan, and literally 5 minutes before it all changed with a tweet that Jeffrey Simmons sent everybody into a tizzy, thinking that, oh no, what's happened? Basically, it's been 4 great years, Titans fans. Thanks for the memories. And then of course he follows it up with, but we're not done yet. Tyron Davenport, who was all over it, breaks the story. And he's back for 4 years, $66 million guaranteed, which was a really good deal for him. But thanks for having me today. It's fun to be here.
Yeah, well, I think it's, you know, warranted that we only bring you on after having all that breaking news yesterday afternoon. I was very jealous that we didn't get to talk about that on the midday show, Chase.
Oh, I know.
Man, Derek was heated. And, you know, as soon as I saw that tweet, and Adam hit a good point as soon as y'all started the show yesterday, was Jeffrey Simmons needs to learn how to use social media a little bit better, because he didn't tweet a thread. He just left that out there. And oh, yeah. Adam said it best. He was probably looking for a gif of himself for 6 minutes trying to figure out the next half of what he was going to say. And honestly, you know, it doesn't pain me at all that he did it that way. It was just, it felt like an awkward moment where it was like, look, like, just come out and say it. Like, don't leave us here with a, oh, it's been great, I've been traded to, you know, the Indianapolis Colts for this, or, you know, whatever it is. And, but, you know, and we touched on this earlier as well, Chase. I thought this was cool because I like the little details and stuff like this and just stories. But it was really the agent that just was able to pop off and say, you know what, Tyron Davenport stuck with me when I was a young agent starting off, and he and I have maintained contact. And I thought that was a really cool, you know, secondary story to this all, because when you sign those contracts, you don't really think of the agent or, you know, even who they are at times. You know, I know myself as a writer, we need to know those other sources. But when you think of how stuff gets done, I think that is just a really cool little backstory to how it did end up coming all together. And Rand Carthon gets to keep one of the cornerstones to the franchise, Chase. And I pointed out as well that for the next 4 seasons, we've got Tannehill locked up still. Now Jeffrey Simmons, Harold Landry's another, and, you know, obviously Kevin Byard, and we can dive into that little beef that's going on right now too. But he's another guy that's locked in, and we got Derrick Henry that's locked in too.
Well, Derek and Tannehill are a little bit different, because there's some finagling, and that's where the whole Jared's whole theory of the cap is fake comes in. But what you said about the other guys is 100%, and, you know, we'll see what happens with Byard. I think they're going to get all that worked out. But the fact that you have a tent pole like Jeffrey Simmons that is locked up is going to be huge for this team, because actually, you know, with him playing this year on the fifth year option, he's under team control for 5 years. And so whatever Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel's plan is, they can start their reset, transition, rebuild, whatever. And Jeffrey Simmons will very much be a part of that. So it's positive. It's a team friendly deal from a financial standpoint, and also a pretty good deal for Jeffrey Simmons. And what you said about the agent, yeah, that was his first major contract. And I even saw Joel Corey, a longtime agent, now with CBS Sports, thanking him too. So a positive deal all the way around. And now Rand Carthon can focus on the draft and the other things that this team needs. And the question is going to be, is quarterback one of those? And I know you all had kind of discussed that a little bit. We've discussed it at nauseam of, are there any of these quarterback prospects that the Tennessee Titans feel like can be their franchise quarterback? And a name that a lot of people keep coming back to, that I keep coming back to, that is polarizing, is Hendon Hooker out of Tennessee. If he doesn't get hurt, he's probably in the top 10. I think he still could be in the top 10. Corey Curtis was on yesterday on Stillman and Company and said, if you had him in the top 10 before, why wouldn't you have him in now? The ACL, you know, can be repaired. And so I think that's a really interesting way to look at things. But Bill Polian, longtime general manager, was on his podcast and kind of gave a scouting report of Hendon Hooker.
Hendon Hooker, he's got an excellent release. It's a little bit elongated, but I don't worry too much about that. If the ball gets out on time, that's what you care about. And the velocity of the ball is what you care about. And his arm is excellent. It's a very easy motion. He's got pretty good touch on the ball. To the extent that he has to in the offense, he can read it and reload. And he's very slippery running the option. The negatives, he throws a bit flat-footed. I like to see his feet a little more animated in the pocket. His acceleration on mid-range throws could be a little bit better. He doesn't have a lot of shake and bake when he escapes. And there are times when he'll misread coverages. That's understandable. He hasn't played much, especially in that offense. He has some difficulty seeing blitzes, particularly backside blitzes that are well-timed. But that's not disqualifying. He's tough as can be. You know, he fights to the very end. He's a good leader. This is a guy that I think under normal circumstances you might be thinking about at the end of the first round. But now with the injury, it might push him down into the second. But I think there's enough to work with here. And I had pretty close ties to someone in the Tennessee program who's no longer there, who told me that this is an incredibly good young man. He's really a great kid, works hard. You want to play for him. He's really an outstanding person.
Bill Polian's a Hall of Fame general manager, and so I respect everything that he just said there. I don't think he makes it out of the first round. I do think a team is going to jump on him simply because of the fifth-year option. And that was something that, you know, when Bill Polian was a GM, wasn't a thing. So I think that the fifth-year option could certainly come into play with Hendon Hooker, but I also think he could be developed by the right staff, and hopefully Vrabel's staff of Charles London, you know, could be that with Charles London as the quarterback's coach now. But I thought that was an interesting assessment by Bill Polian, Nick.
Yeah, it absolutely was. And I mean, that's something that Junie and I talked about to kick off the show this morning was, would we actually want to trade down to take a wide receiver first and maybe use that 42nd pick on someone like a Hendon Hooker? But, you know, you make that interesting comment where it's, okay, I think he's going in the first round. And, you know, my gut tells me that that's probably likely. However, if we do see some quarterbacks fall, I could see him falling too, just because of where some guys might go. But, you know, I also think about too that Pat O'Hara is here as well with Charles London. And if we do end up taking that quarterback, you know, that's something that I'm encouraged with, one, because we have the expertise, and, you know, Ryan Tannehill is here, and we all know that, you know, he wasn't going to mentor, you know, Willis, and, you know, him just coming in, and he's had that shadow over him. And I don't think if we take a quarterback now, it would be anything like that. But I was telling Junie, Chase, that I think we need someone that has an X factor. You know, I go a lot back to playing video games growing up and wanting to have that X factor guy that has a big difference making capability. And I think the Titans need that. Most importantly, you know, having someone that can step up big, you know, in the trenches, that's huge. But if you can get someone that comes in and can catch passes, and I mentioned this as well, if you've got Chig playing so much better this season, you could ultimately have a rookie wide receiver or that quarterback come in and make big plays and, you know, kind of shock the world, honestly. And, you know, I mean, will they take a wide receiver first? I mean, I lean more toward that personally. Would they take a quarterback first if he's
at 11?
There? Not at 11. I think that's something that I was thinking of. And I think that they would trade down if they wanted to take someone like a wide receiver. Because, look, if their guy at quarterback is not there at 11 anymore, I would trade down personally. But if they end up, you know, holding on, then, yeah, take a guy like a Hendon Hooker at 11. I don't know if it's too rich for me personally. I know that Caroline has talked about it being too rich for her. But if Will Levis is gone, if Richardson's gone, and obviously we know that C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young will go before them as well, if you had to just, you know, guess. You know,
we think, yeah.
Yeah, we think. But ultimately, you know, I mean, if Titans guy is not there, then I mean, go get a guy that can make a difference in a wide receiver, maybe trade down. That's just what I think.
And, you know, I'm going to chime in. Sorry, Chase. I'm going to chime in real quick. Sure. You know, you made a great point about, you know, a team late in the first round having that fifth-year option with Hendon Hooker. But you also have to realize, like, could the Titans possibly trade back and acquire more picks and still possibly get Hendon Hooker and still acquire that fifth, you know, option? I feel like that's an interesting take. You know, it's risk-reward because it's kind of like you got to read the room. You know, who, if there's another franchise that's possibly going for a quarterback or going for a lineman type thing, it's just one of those type of things. You just got to play, you know, with you got to not show your poker face, you know?
It's a chess game. That's basically what it is. I will tell you what I would do, and I've kind of brought this up, but in more detail, I'll tell you what I would do coming up next. If I were Rand Carthon in the Tennessee Titans, as we discuss the draft, it's hard to believe that it's just a few weeks away. It's Chase McCabe and Nick Keyser in for Michelle and Junie today. Nick Frazier here with us as well on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Nick Keyser, Nick Frazier hanging out with you on this Saturday morning discussing the NFL draft and what the Tennessee Titans could do. You can weigh in at any time, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So I told you guys what I would do in all my infinite wisdom or something like that. So here's my plan, and I want you both to tell me what you think. I am totally cool trading out of 11 and trading back. They have 6 draft picks, and they have a ton of holes that they got to fill. You know, you still have to address offensive line. They're missing a guard, so you got to figure that out, okay? Absolutely got to get a receiver. I think you got to get a tight end. Quarterback, to me, is not even a necessity. It's just do you like a guy enough that you can go ahead and make that move and then have a year with Tannehill and then decide what you want to do there and let the guy sit? I got called out yesterday because somebody thought I was comparing Hendon Hooker to Patrick Mahomes. I wasn't. I was comparing the situation. When they drafted Patrick Mahomes, the plan was Alex Smith would start for a year and then they would hand him the keys. That's an ideal scenario with quarterback and with the Tennessee Titans. So that is kind of how I look at things. I would trade back from 11. The sweet spot to me would be about 20th or 21st. So that would be Seattle or the Chargers. Get another day 2 pick, ideally a second, and then move back there. And that's where you get your receiver, because I think that top 15 for a receiver is a little too rich. I know a lot of mocks have the Titans taking Jaxon Smith-Njigba at 11th. I think he could fall back a little bit, but there are some decent receivers that are going to be available to you, you know, in that range. And actually, I wouldn't take a receiver there. Sorry, I'm still waking up. That's where I would take Hendon Hooker. I would take Hendon Hooker at that spot if he's available. Now, there are some teams ahead of you that could potentially be in the market for a quarterback, but I would take him there, and then I'd go get the receiver at 41 in the second round, because you'd have Josh Downs could be a possibility. Jalin Hyatt could be a possibility. You could get Cedric Tillman probably in the third round on day 2. So there will be some options available to you. That's what I would do. And then you're just adding more draft assets and also getting what you need.
Yeah, there's no question. And, you know, I think that's interesting that you bring up Josh Downs, Chase, because that's someone that Derek was talking about the other day. And, you know, he just finished this past year with, I'm just now pulling up his stats, but I mean, this guy was awesome. He had over 1,000 yards receiving this last year. He had 11 touchdowns. I mean, he's a guy that, and I mean, his route running, obviously you want to have as a specialty for him, but if you do want to go get a guy like him, that would be a pretty solid pickup, because I don't think Jaxon Smith-Njigba will be there if you want to get a wide receiver that late, Chase. But, you know, Josh Downs out of North Carolina is definitely an intriguing pick for me. But
D-Mace loves him.
Oh, man, he has been so high on him. It's not even funny. He takes it so serious, and I love hearing his passionate conversation about wide receivers, obviously being one. But Yeah, Josh Downs, I think that's where you could go. He's 5'10", 180. Obviously, he'd need to have some size if he joins the Titans. And, you know, we just, like I said last segment, Chase, and I think this is a big thing for the Titans this year that I really want to see down the stretch, is they need to have some guys step up. Obviously, we're hoping that Tannehill has his best year. But we need to have some other key pieces take some load off of one another, because if we lose a guy like a Robert Woods, who obviously didn't do a whole lot, I think he could have done more, but it's fine. He's gone. He was excited about leaving anyway. But if you have some guys that can take some pressure off of one another, and I think a rookie wide receiver can do that, because if he comes in, that's something that you can look at and think, okay, if this guy steps up, you know, he's not going to be necessarily in, like an A.J. Brown or a Treylon Burks. If that wide receiver comes in and makes a difference, and he doesn't have to have even that great of a year, you know, he could have a similar year. I mean, obviously, health-wise, I think he needs to be available every game, unlike Treylon Burks. But if he can put up some Treylon Burks numbers and he plays similarly to him, I think you're set up for success, right?
Yeah, I do too. And you know what else I've decided that I would consider doing? You know, obviously you draft a receiver or receivers in this year's draft, because right now you have Treylon Burks, you have Kyle Phillips, you have Racy McMath. People keep bringing him up, and I don't know what he is at this point, but I know they've liked him, who just hurt all last year. And then NWI. So that's your receiver room right now. I would draft a couple, and then for cheap and for giggles, I would bring in Jarvis Landry. His numbers weren't very good last year. His numbers really weren't very good the year before, his last year in Cleveland. But he's going to be 31. He's a veteran. Why not bring him in on the cheap, see what he's got in training camp, and maybe that's another veteran presence that you can put in your room. Low risk, high reward. There's really not a risk there, because you're going to get him very, very cheap. I would look at something like that, just because I think he would be a good locker room guy for a young receiver room.
Yeah, there's no question. I think that's something that we need to see more of, is some mentorship going on. I mean, I don't really think Treylon Burks had the best room to look at, and just in terms of what to learn off of, because he's kind of in there with all this pressure. We talked about it all season long, where he's under this microscope of, hey, A.J. Brown's not here anymore. We need you to step up now. And that was just a lot for a rookie. And hopefully this year he has a lot of that pressure taken off of him, Chase. And, you know, I think if you just take a look at what they could add in the draft, I remember we had a texter, I think, earlier this week say, well, we still need a kick returner or a punt guy. And I'm like, okay, we have those already. I don't think we need to worry about that. They can work on that. And when you think about wide receiver, you think that they can do those things too. But, you know, I think I just look at guys like that, Josh Downs and Jackson Smith and Jigba. I think those are a couple of names. There's obviously more guys in the draft. But I think if we can pick someone up that can just help take that load off and bring in their own dog mentality to this Titans team, who's honestly very well set for the future, I think that will be a tremendously awesome outlook for how they could look here in a couple of years.
Yeah, no, I think that's a spot on assessment, Nick. It's also funny to me, and Adam and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, of how we kind of got to a point where both teams, the Predators and the Titans, were in a similar spot where it was pretty clear they needed to kind of hit the reset button. The Predators gave us a definitive plan, and we all see that plan now. Now the plan has obviously had a deviation to it, because nobody expected the young kids to play like they played and to put them in a position to possibly make the playoffs. But with the Titans, it still kind of feels like they're going in circles. Even though they've sold off some assets, some people are calling it a rebuild. You still have the quarterback, you still have the running back. And so until you get to that point, I'm not going to call it a rebuild. Now, if you add a quarterback behind Ryan Tannehill in this draft, and you've made it known that that's going to be your guy of the future, which if you spend a a first round pick and even a second, early second round pick, I would say that's the case, then you have more of an idea of what the plan's going to be.
Yeah.
Running backs are different, but
yeah.
You know, I mean, they're Derrick Henry, they broke the mold when they made him. And he probably broke the mold because he's so big. But I think with the running back position, you can address that. And also, you know, I think they're wanting to change the offensive identity of this team. To do that, though, they really have to continue to take swings and fix the offensive line, which I hope they plan to do in this draft.
Yeah, I think that they will too, Chase, because I think that's something that, and we've been talking a lot about how the Preds, you know, just to bring up this similarity too, the Preds have relied on guys like making less than $1 million to be their best scorers right now. And I think similarly, I think that the Tennessee Titans are going to have to rely on some guys on these rookie deals to step up for them here after the next 1 to 2 drafts. Because if we're going to become this young team and try to be as competitive as possible, because we all know Vrabel doesn't like dumb bleep to hurt the team, and I think he's not going to put up with it in terms of trying to develop guys. And I think that he and his staff this year have a huge step to help set the foundation for, okay, we don't want to rebuild. However, we do want to set ourselves up for success here, because, you know, I was also telling Junie this too, you know, there's the Predator way, right? Well, the Titans, they've got to have their own mentality too. That needs to be established with whoever else comes in here in the organization. And, you know, I think too, it's going to be pretty big to keep, obviously we've been talking about Jeff Simmons, but it's going to be big to keep a guy like Derrick Henry too, because you want to continue, okay, this culture needs to stay here. And that's another thing that I think they should focus on as an organization in the locker room. And I know Derek knows this all firsthand, and he's talked to me several times just off air about how important it is to make sure that everyone's on the same page, make sure that everyone's doing well and they're picking each other up. And hopefully that's something that they can do with the young guys. And ultimately, if you look at how well they've done that in years past, they're perfectly capable of doing it, because a lot of times, you know, kind of like what Travis Kelce said, no one had us, you know. I think a lot of people didn't have the Titans a couple of years ago, you know, going and facing the Chiefs in the championship game in the conference. Because, look, I think that's something you need to see out of the Titans here in the next couple of seasons, is we need to be back there again. And obviously Tannehill had nightmares after, you know, going against the Bengals and having the tragic loss. But now they can hit that reset button. They're kind of like this 2 years off of where the Preds were a couple of years ago, where they're like, okay, we have to do a competitive reset. And now that's exactly where the Titans are now, Chase.
Yes, indeed. All right, I'm excited. You know, you sent me your grid, and I look at this, and Andy McNeil, that's a guy I've talked to a few times over the years, talk a little betting with him from VSiN. So we will do that coming up next here on Michelle and Junie. Chase McCabe, Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier here with you today on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Michelle and Junie here on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. We'll be joined by Andy McNeil from VSiN here in just a few moments. Frazier working the phones. But Chase, the Preds have some very slim odds to make it to the postseason. Very curious to see if we do end up seeing them make the postseason. But we will now be joined by our friend Andy McNeil from VSiN. Andy, how you doing this morning?
Oh, well, it's a good morning, man. We got all-day hockey. I got some Tim Hortons here. You know, it's a perfect Canadian morning.
Oh, man, you have some Timmies. That is the perfect morning right there. Oh, my gosh. Some Timbits and coffee. Oh, that sounds like a great morning, Andy. But glad to have you here with us. I want to start off here because I know that you and I have talked a little bit about the Nashville Predators here in the back half of the regular season. Obviously, guys have been out, and they've just been hit with the injury bug really hard. And I actually just pulled up your column here talking about the Predators game this evening, and I just want to dive more into what you think about their odds as far as making the postseasons go. We've seen a lot of different varying percentages of making the postseason, but for you personally, how reliable do you think the Nashville Predators are going to be in terms of making it to the postseason?
Well, you and I talked about this a little bit. I mean, it's basically comes down to how far UC Saros can take them. I mean, he's dragging this team right now. I know they've had some surprises. You look at a guy like Tommy Novak, who stepped up and, you know, been a big contributor in a big way, something rather unexpected, I guess. But Saros is the main factor here, and he's going to have to put in some work over this next week to get them into the playoffs. And, I mean, the odds at DraftKings right now, I'm sure you guys have mentioned it, plus 380 to make the playoffs, almost 4-1. And that's, I think, pretty accurately represents their chances right now.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And another thing, too, that I kind of just want to get your thoughts on as well is the fact that UC Saros has 43 goals saved above expected right now is absolutely insane. He leads the NHL in that category, according to MoneyPuck.com. You know, he's not necessarily, you know, poised to be a finalist in the Vezina. He certainly should be. But what kind of odds would you put on him perhaps being a finalist this year?
Man, the Vezina is such a tough trophy because, as we know, the general managers vote on this award. It's not voted on like the other awards are by the Professional Hockey Writers Association. And I think, you know, the general managers, so to speak, they kind of mail it in every year, I would say. And, you know, a guy like Linus Ullmark, he's, you know, leads the league in those traditional categories, and he's had such a great season from that standpoint. And, of course, he's ranked highly in that metric you mentioned, goal saved above expected as well. But I was talking to Arthur Staple of The Athletic. He covers the Rangers and the Islanders. He covers the Rangers for the last 25-plus years. This guy is, you know, so insightful, and he has some unique access to some exclusive access to some unique data with ClearSight Analytics, I believe they're called. And that's Stephen Valiquette, used to be a former NHL goaltender. And he likes to look at the goaltenders through their metrics. And he says Saros jumps off the screen at him as the best goaltender in the NHL, even better than Sorokin this year. Their metrics say that Saros is the best goaltender. So, I mean, you know, if we were being fair and the general managers actually put some stock into some of these underlying metrics and you know, just what Saros has done this season, I think he would definitely be a finalist. But as things stand right now, I mean, I think he's going to find himself on the outside looking in.
We're talking to Andy McNeil from VSiN, talking a little sports betting when it comes to the National Hockey League. And look, I think everybody would agree the Boston Bruins are the favorite. Vegas agrees that the Boston Bruins are the favorite. But I'm intrigued by these Stanley Cup playoffs. And I know there's a couple of spots left, but you look at the East, Carolina, a very, very strong team. New Jersey's had a good year. We'll see what the Rangers do with the additions that they made. If there were a dark horse in your mind, who would it be right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still looking at I wouldn't call them a dark horse, but I mean, as far as the top teams go, I think you look at the Oilers at 8-1. They're the best team in the Western Conference. But a dark horse, I mean, it's pretty slim pickings at this point in the season. Obviously, we've, you know, the whole point in this is trying to predict the future, and we're basically in the future now. So, I mean, you look at the Rangers and Devils series, they're lining up to play one another. I think whichever team makes it out of that is a pretty good dark horse bet to go all the way. I wonder about the Devils, you know, their lack of experience. They're a young team. Some would say a soft team. They've used their speed a lot, definitely haven't relied on the physical aspect like you're going to see ramp up in the playoffs. But the Devils seem to me to be the dark horse of the bunch.
Well, I'll tell you one that I like out of the West, and I know I would probably bank on somebody out of the East more than anything, but I've really been bullish on the Los Angeles Kings, and I think I'm looking at Superbook. They have them at plus 3,000 to win it all. But they're a team that I think they have a lot of offensive ability. They did address goaltender at the trade deadline. We'll see what that does moving forward. But what's kind of your thoughts on the Kings?
I mean, I really like the Kings. I think their underlying metrics have dipped a bit over the last few weeks, and I think – you know, maybe they're kind of resting on the fact that things have been going really well for them lately. And That's a little bit concerning, but you know, you've got to like this goaltending here with Jonas Korpisalo and Phoenix Copley. They've been playing really well together. The one thing I just worry about, and with a lot of teams in the West, is just the lack of star power. And I think, you know, the series, as much as people like to think that the series is decided by some of these depth trade deadline acquisitions and whatnot, but the most playoff series are decided by the star players. And, you know, you look at the Kings up and down, they've got some really good players. They're a good group, the sum of all their parts. But I think when they match up against teams like Edmonton and Colorado, they're going to have a difficult time dealing with all that superstar power that those teams have.
Andy McNeil is with us from VSiN talking some NHL betting odds. And one thing that I'm kind of intrigued on is just who do you think has the best odds to perhaps surprise some people and maybe make the Stanley Cup final? Because, you know, Chase brought up the Los Angeles Kings. You know, I think they're a dark horse to perhaps make it all the way to the Stanley Cup final. But when I take a look at the East, you know, they already have guys like Boston and Toronto who are, you know, trying to get as far as they can once again. But Andy, when you take a look at who could possibly surprise teams and make it to the Stanley Cup final this year, who do you think comes to mind for you?
I mean, I'm hoping the Oilers make it because a couple of months ago, back in February, mid-February, I was touting the Oilers at around plus 700, plus 750 to win the West. Now they're down at around 3-1. I'm pretty happy with the value that I've accumulated there. I mean, so me personally, I would not be making a bet on any of these teams at the current odds. I'm just going to hopefully take the Oilers far into the playoffs and have a bunch of overlay there to work with and be able to, you know, make a guarantee myself a profit at some point throughout a potentially long playoff run. But yeah, I mean, you know, you mentioned the Kings, the Wild. I mean, those are teams that, like I said, they have strong underlying metrics. The Wild particularly have great goaltending. Philip Gustafson has been, you know, really, really good this season. He's among the top goaltenders, especially in the second half of the season in goal saved above expected. So, I mean, the Wild are an intriguing team. I worry about their offense and, like I said, the lack of star power. But the Western Conference, I mean, it's wide open.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And Andy, I love all the insight that you're able to give us. And it's been a pleasure having you on here with us this morning. And looking forward to seeing if the Nashville Predators are able to make it to the postseason. They currently have a 10.8% chance to make it to the postseason, according to Money Puck. So thanks for hopping on here with us this morning.
For sure. I'm pulling for you guys. I mean, I lost so much money on the Winnipeg Jets this season that I'm rooting against them at this point.
Yeah, they're in at a 58%. But Andy, pleasure to have you on and talk some odds with you in the NHL. And we'll see how it goes this postseason. But thank you.
For sure. Tune in to VSiN. Check out all my series previews. They'll be coming out over the next week or so.
Very well. Very well. We will check it out. Andy McNeil. Andy. From VSiN. Thank you for hopping on here with us this morning. And, you know, Chase, there's a lot to take away from that conversation as far as, you know, I like that he kind of picked the Oilers to go to the finals personally. I think that is a really good pick. Yeah, I think that's one that you could take a good long look at. You know, I already talked about how I want to see Matthias Ekholm make it as far as he can. But, you know, I mean, look, you brought up the LA Kings to him, and that's something that I really want to see happen for them too, because they've been really, really pushing here lately. You know, I remember growing up watching them making those cup runs, and I mean, it would be really cool to see them get back in there. I think that they have the goal scoring to do it. And I know that we'll talk more about the Nashville Predators versus the Winnipeg Jets coming up next, and looking forward to breaking down what we could see out of the matchup tonight. Nick Kieser in for Michelle and Junie today alongside Chase McCabe. We'll wrap it up talking some hockey here on 102.5 and 106.3, the game.
If they can somehow find a way to even just get a point out of this one tonight, I think it adds to the intrigue of this weekend when the Predators play both Calgary and Winnipeg head-to-head.
I love the idea of getting a point out of that game, because that might be where the bar is set, considering how good Carolina is and how much they still have to play for, like you said. I think they'd much prefer to see one of those wild card teams in the Eastern Conference versus having to play, say, the New York Rangers in the first round if the Devils end up catching them. But, you know, the interesting thing about this is having those two games, the Jets and the Flames, coming up, which is just great. But the other thing that's really interesting about it is the math, because they do have a disadvantage if this thing does end up in a numerical tie in points with the teams that they're chasing, as far as you know, non shootout wins. So it's kind of almost better to keep this thing at an odd number, if we're being honest, because the tiebreaker does them no favors. But the bottom line is that just keep winning, right? I mean, I think you're correct in saying that while every game feels like it's a must win, the one tonight is probably a little less must win than the ones coming up.
That was Greg Wyshynski on Chase and Michelle earlier this week. And man, I think the Preds will be one exciting team to watch here tonight. They got the Winnipeg Jets on the road, and then they got a really tough matchup coming up against the Calgary Flames. And Chase, just want to talk about the game really quickly here, because if they don't win these next two games, I think their chances are very grim at making the postseason. I think if they even lose one game, I think it's just too slim to make it, I think. But we are optimistic here on this program, but I don't know. It's very daunting to look at, because Winnipeg and Calgary, they've got easier schedules, and the Preds have to capitalize here.
They got to win Monday. I mean, there's no other way to put it. They could have some wiggle room on Minnesota and Colorado, because I think some things are going to be decided for them by then. And so that could certainly, you know, and so that could help some matters, you know. But if they slipped up and lost one of those, I think that wouldn't completely take them out of it. But they got to win this weekend. Mm-hmm. That's just bottom line, because it's head to head.
Yeah, it is. And if you take a look at what we've done lately here, I mean, the Preds, they've obviously surprised everybody. You know, we just had Aaron Sims on earlier. And, you know, it's been one hell of a year for both franchises, because you've seen 15 different skaters play on the Nashville Predators, 15. And just to let that sink in even more is the fact that that is the third most in the entire NHL as in terms of call-ups this year. The Preds have also used 14 defensemen this year, and that is insane to me. And the depth has really come through here lately, Chase. And, you know, when you take a look back at the offseason and you see guys like Jordan Gross get signed, Gravel, I mean, those are guys that you wouldn't think, okay, they're going to come up and they're going to score some goals. They're going to play some solid defense here for you. And some guys that are UFAs, I know, won't be back, but they've really been pitching in here lately. And we saw Mark Jankowski and Big Sexy score the other night, Chase.
I know, and that was what was so cool is, you know, you had guys that you wouldn't expect to put the puck in the back of the net do that. You know, Michael McCarron's been cool to have. I mean, I know he's been in and out of the lineup and up and down and all of that, but, you know, he's somebody that John Hines likes to put in there when he needs a little more oomph in the lineup, with a big guy, can deliver big hits, isn't afraid to drop the mitts, all of that. And then, obviously, he had some scoring prowess the other night as well. So, I mean, that's the thing. Like, they beat teams like Carolina and Boston, which you wouldn't expect them to do. You need to have that same kind of determination tonight against the Winnipeg Jets. And I'll tell you, I have been to Winnipeg. I was on the road with the team during the playoff series when it went seven games a few years ago. That is a really tough barn to play in. I mean, really tough. It is loud. It's small, so the noise just carries. It's a passionate fan base. This is going to be a playoff-type atmosphere tonight, because both sides know what's on the line. It's going to be fun. It's going to be awesome to watch. Like, I actually wish I was there. But it is, it's a tough place to win in and to play in. And John Hines is going to have to get his team ready for that, especially if they don't have – you know, some of the guys, and I mean, it doesn't look like they're going to get anybody back. I know Yossi was a maybe, but I don't see that happening. So these young guys, this could be the biggest test that they've had to this point. knowing that they really got to win this head-to-head matchup.
Yeah, and it really is. I mean, it's going to be the biggest game of the year, obviously, tonight, and then obviously on Monday night, too, when they play the Flames. And, you know, one thing I tossed out on the Twitter sphere a couple days ago, Chase, was the fact that the injured Nashville Predators contracts equaled out to $38.7 million, while the roster that dressed was $36.3 million worth of contracts. And five of the top 10 scorers for the Nashville Predators make $875,000 or less. I mean, what in the world is going on? Like, what's in the water bottles? I mean, they have been playing crazy hockey. I mean, you know, Willie has said it best, you know, these guys don't know better. You know, I think they don't have a whole lot to really, I mean, they don't have anything to lose, quite frankly. I mean, they're playing for their jobs next year. And then you see a guy like Jake Livingstone get called up from college and sign his first deal with the Nashville Predators. And that was fun talking to his coach. And, you know, he was down to a few different options from what I had heard talking to Mike Hastings. But he said it was the perfect marriage for the Nashville Predators and him to come together. And you know what? I thought he played well the other night. You know, he logged 16 minutes and he didn't do anything too crazy. But, you know, Spencer Stastny is a guy that, you know, came into training camp. Oh, man, he is fast. He can play the puck really well. You know, he had two apples the other night. If you look at how well he sets you up for success, you know, look, I haven't been too fond of Mr. Foote since joining us via the trade from Tampa Bay. You know, and I hope Tanner Janot is doing well, too. I don't know what his status is, but you know, I'm not going to be too dissatisfied if we keep Stastny on the Predators next fall. But, you know, just looking at all the guys that have come up, it's an incredible story. Regardless if they make the postseason or not, Chase, this has been one hell of a season. You know, and obviously UC Saros steals it every single night. You know, 43 saves above expected, basically. And, you know, that's something that you don't get out of every goaltender. You know, Linus Ullmark plays on a really good team. Igor Shchuk plays on a really good team. UC Saros has been absolutely on a tear. And I'd pointed this out too yesterday, Chase, because, you know, he's not just been dominant this year. You know, since 2019, he's second in save percentage. He's third in wins, third in saves. He's fifth in goals against average, and he has 13 shutouts. I mean, that's insane to me that he is carrying this much of a load for a team that at times has not looked like an encouraging roster to watch.
I know. Yeah. I mean, but that's kind of the story, is it not?
Yeah.
that's just where it is right now with this team. But yeah, look, tonight, I think they just need to keep doing just what Tom Cruise said in the new Top Gun, in Top Gun Maverick, don't think, just do. That's what they have to keep doing. And, you know, they're going out there and just playing hockey. You know, I loved that what a lot of the guys have said, and that is we're kids playing a game and we're just going out there and having fun. And when I was sitting with Crispy the other night, you know, watching some of the game, that was his attitude. And he was like, you can just tell they're having fun. And ultimately, that's what it needs to be. And so hopefully some of the veteran guys that are out of the lineup that need to pay attention are paying attention, and some of that can rub off on them when they get back into the lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're hoping to see Roman Josi. You know, obviously we've had David Poile come on and John Hines say that, look, he's the closest one to returning. And I'm so curious, once we have the end of the year press conference, whenever that is, hopefully it's later, I would love to know what is going on. And I would love to hear, you know, what their recovery timeline looks like and just what their status looks like. Because, you know, Juuso Parsonen had that stinger on a really late night game against the Sharks, and really curious to see, you know, how some of these guys are doing once we all wrap it up. But without any further ado, we are toward the end of our time this morning. It has been the two fastest hours of radio. Chase, I know what that feels like now. But it has been a fun morning.
You've done a fine job.
Well, thank you, sir. And it's been a pleasure doing it this morning. And Frazier, Let's make some picks this morning. Do you have anything for us?
I do. I have some Preds picks. It is player prop oriented. I have Cody Glass to get 3 shots on goal plus 230. That's a little sprinkle. I also have Luke Evangelista to get 3 shots on goal, which is plus 125. I was trying to look for some goalie props. No Saros props out from what I see on my end. Let's see. What else do we have here? I like the Preds on the money line. It's plus 160 where I have it. I like that. I think they can get the dub tonight. Chase, do you have anything?
I like the Preds on the money line. I think they go into Winnipeg and win. I just think the determination that this team has right now is going to carry them in there. And they have some swagger, and swagger can be dangerous. So I like the Preds on the money line.
Okay, Nick?
Yeah, you know, I think I would take him on the money line too. What was the little stat there with Luke?
It is plus 125 for 3 shots on goal.
Oh.
I like that.
Yeah,
I do too.
That's a good number too, because that's about what he does every game. I think I would take that too.
His original line is 1.5, which is minus 196. So you're not getting much value there. I mean, I like to try to price things out and try to get the plus money value. So, but that's where I'm at on the Preds.
Okay, well, cool. What else do you got for us?
I have some Nashville SC props. This is getting kind of juicy here. I have a plus 6,000 player prop, and it is very likely that it could hit. So currently, Toronto FC and Nashville SC, every time they play, it's always high scoring, 3-2, 2-2, whatever. Last year, Nashville SC, when they played Toronto, Federico Bernardeschi and Lorenzo Insigne, both DPs that came from Italy, scored in their opener against Nashville SC. So Lorenzo Insigne is hurt on this trip, has a groin injury, according to coverage.com, so will not be playing. Federico Bernardeschi, in the Italian culture, it's like considered a trequartista, which is like a central attacking midfielder and a striker. Also could be called like a centropunta kind of thing, something like that, like a central point.
You call me?
No, nothing like that, Chase, I promise. yeah, so you could go there. It is 4 shots on goal plus 6,000.
Wow.
So you put $17, you could win a grand.
That's
so just
insane.
Putting that out there for people that want to sprinkle.
Chase, I know that you don't watch soccer too much, but that might be a good one.
I like that. Hey, you don't know what my individual pick might be. my individual pick is from the Premier League. So I'm going Liverpool over Arsenal today.
Oh, a little upset action.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's our tomorrow, I should say. It's tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
I like that pick, Chase. That is smooth.
Yeah. There you go.
I have one more pick for Nashville SC. So Jacob Schaffelberg is a former Toronto FC player. He has 2 goals on the season so far out of 5 matches. He's got to do it. It's against his home club. He's got to do it. He's scoring a goal against Toronto today.
I would put money on that. I would also put money on Nashville SC. I think not to really put money on the score necessarily, but if I had to predict the score, I would say Nashville SC wins 3-0.
Oh, 3-0. Wow.
Yeah. I have not done the deep dive into Nashville SC yet. That is coming. But from what I can gather, I would say that's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm right there with you guys. I love that exactly. So, Nick, you can take it on from here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, looking forward to seeing how the Preds do in action tonight against the Winnipeg Jets. We'll have our eyes on it. I know that tonight we'll be starting things a little bit earlier than we typically do. I believe our pregame show will start at 5 o'clock tonight. So I will have you covered with Behind Enemy Lines this evening, as I do every game. And we're going to have a really tight contest tonight. I don't know what the scoring is going to look like, Chase. I think we'll be in for a good one. But it's been a pleasure filling in for Michelle and Junie this morning alongside the suit, Chase McCabe. And we will be coming at you next week on Michelle and Junie here on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game.